أما بعد، فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنعان قوم أن لا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. صلوات. I have recited ayat number 8 from Surah Maidah, which is Surah number 5. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, كُونَ قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ. That O you who believe, be the bearers of justice and be witnesses for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not let the hatred of any people push you towards being unfair and unjust with them. Means even if they have done wrong to you and you are angry with them, you might even have shan'an, hatred towards them. Allah says it shouldn't push you, an la ta'dilu, to abandon justice and fairness in dealing with them. I'dalu, be fair and just, that is closer to the piety and righteousness, and fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of all what that you do. I recited this for the team that I have about the current situation, but before that, you know, let me pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you all on this celebration of the Viladat anniversary for 11th Imam, Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wa salam. And in the light of this ayat, I would like to, at the end, present an important advice from the 11th Imam to us. But before I go that, let me come with the theme that we have for tonight. We are living through difficult times. The crisis in Gaza Strip has occupied everyone's mind. You know, despite the numbers and the powers, the Muslims are not able to do anything. You know, there was one picture somebody sent to me, although just a drawing. They said, you know, we have more than a billion Muslims around the world, but they cannot even send one bottle of water to Gaza. You look at the unfortunate situation of the Muslims. And this is where we had to realize that, you know, although we live very far away from that, it has an impact. Whether you like it or not, it has an impact on a local level. Whether it is the school, workplace, legislation, media, everywhere you will see there are repercussions of what is happening there, thousands of miles away from Canada. And so we cannot be, you know, indifferent to what's going on. And we have to realize that as Shia Muslims, we are also going through test and trial. What should be our reaction to what is happening in Gaza Strip? You know, sometimes when you talk about this issue, sometimes, and I'm not saying everyone, but sometimes we hear this sound saying, well, you know, they are Sunnis, what has we to do with them? You know, yes, it is true that the Palestinians are Sunni Shafi'i. They are not Shia Isna'ashari. And so the question is that, well, why should we bother about them? And this is where we have to look at this issue. Should our reaction depend on what the other party is doing? Or should our reaction be based on what our faith and mazhab and our imams are saying? Maybe the other party is unjust to you, unfair to you. Do you stoop down to that level? Or do you maintain your own upper level of akhlaq according to the teachings of the imams of Ahlul Bayt? Sometimes provocation is there. You know, you look at the situation You know, when sectarian flames basically are fanned. Look at the situation in Iraq. It's not very far away from us, time-wise. It is our own current history. And it was the fatherly and wise figure of Ayatollah Sistani who prevailed over the mischief makers. You know, you look at the attack that ISIS and the extremist Wahhabis had on the shrine of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam in Samarra. That was the height of provocation. The Shias would have reacted very angrily and started attacking the Sunnis. But it was the wisdom of this fatherly figure there of Ayatollah Sistani which controlled their emotions. And he said, no, this is not done by Sunnis. This is done by the extremists. And don't blame the majority of Sunni for what the extremists have done. And this is where we are to realize. So let me talk about, you know, what would be our duty and our take on this issue, although I already talked about it at length in the two Friday khutbahs, but I thought it's appropriate to link this with the advice of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat. Let us have some clarity on the concepts. In Shia fiqh, who is a Muslim? Even the mothers and children know about it, but we need to, you know, go back to it just to make sure our thoughts and concepts are clear. Muslim is somebody who says a shahadatain. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Salawat wa alaykum. As soon as a person says the shahadatain, that's it. We don't have any right to question his shahadatain. We don't have a duty but to accept that person as a Muslim. His life, his honor, his property becomes muhtaram, sacrosanct. We cannot violate his life or his property or his honor. And all the rules which apply on the Muslims would also apply on that individual. The issue of taharat and najasat, the issue of marriage, the issue of being eligible for zakat or sadaqah, you know, the issue of zabiha, if they do the slaughtering, you know, it will be halal. The funeral rites, it is wajib on us when a Muslim dies. If there is nobody to take care of that body, collectively the Muslim community is obliged to take care of it. That will apply even to somebody who says the shahadatain. And they will also have a right to inherit from their family members. And so this is where the question comes up. What about the concept of imamat, about the imams of Ahlul Bayt? And that's where it's important to realize that imamat and vilayat of the Ahlul Bayt is not the condition of Islam. It is the condition of Iman. When you talk about a Muslim, in the world, all these rules will apply. When you talk about the third Shahada, where you now add Ashhadu anna Aliyan, Baliullah, and then we, Salawat, Brandik Bala. Then you, as a Muslim, now you become a mu'min. Now you fulfill that condition of Iman. In the name of Amir al-Mu'mineen, can I ask you to stand up and move on this side so we can accommodate the latecomers? So when a person says the third shahada, all the rights and duties which were there on Muslim already now is with this person also. But in addition to that, now this person also has the assurance of najat and salvation in the hereafter. Iman is a condition for that. And that's an elaborate discussion. I'm just going through the, you know, definition of the terms. Muslim, mu'min. Then there is a third term. In the list of kafir, we have something known as nasibi. Who is nasibi? Nasibi is somebody who openly expresses his hatred towards the Ahlul Bayt. In the Shia fiqh, it is unanimous. Anyone who publicly expresses bughz and hatred towards the Ahlul Bayt, that person is nasibi, and even if he says the shahadatain, he is considered to be a kafir. And so you're a Muslim, mu'min, then you have nasibi. And this is where I come to the question. There are some people who confuse this. They say, well, Sunnis are nasibi. There is a difference between a Sunni and a nasibi. Nasibi is somebody who openly expresses hatred towards the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. You know, people are ignorant when they think that, all Sunnis are nasibi. No. Majority of the Sunnis respect the Ahlul Bayt. They do not believe in them as Imams. Rather, the Sufi Sunnis go to the extent of saying that, you know, when we come to the issue of succession to Rasulullah, we divide that into two. Abu Bakr was the political successor, Ali was the spiritual successor. You know, that's how they put it. So my point is that you cannot consider every Sunni to be Nasibi. They don't believe in the Imamate and the Wilayat of Ahlul Bayt, but nor do they harbor or express hatred towards the Ahlul Bayt. They are ignorant. They don't know. This is what they have been taught from their childhood. So not believing in the Ahlul Bayt as the Imam and the first successor of Rasulullah is one thing, and to have hatred towards them is something else. And this is where we come to the issue, because if you'll see, there are many, many Sunnis. They have written in the past and even present. They have the books of Manaqib. They have books on the fadail of Ahlul Bayt. Of course, then we have to hold them and say, okay, if you believe in this fadail of Ahlul Bayt, what is your problem then? But then, you know, they have been taught, well, to be a Khalifa, you don't have to be the best. So Ali was the best, but that is not a condition for Khilafat. But we can argue on that issue. It doesn't make sense. You know, even for leadership, you need somebody who is at the top. There is an ayat of Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, أَفَمَنْ يَهْدِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ أَحَقُّ أَنْ يُتَّبَعْ أَمَّنْ لَا يَهْدِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُهْدَى. Is the one who is guiding you to the truth more worthy to be followed, or somebody who before guiding you needs a guidance? Ali never went anywhere to say, you know, please guide me. They came to Ali. لولا علي لا حلك عمر. And so that is another discussion. But still, they do not deny the fadail and the qualities of the Ahlul Bayt. So let us have this clarity in mind that Sunnis by definition are not Nasibi. There is a difference. Even the Wahhabis, there are some, we would call them extremist among the Wahhabis, who express that hatred towards the Ahlul Bayt. And so we have to be very clear on this issue, and this is where, you know, we'll come to the two examples from the verdicts of two very senior Shia mujtahideen of our time. Salawat Pranik Barar. About 14 years ago, in Ramadan of 1431, there was a Shia website, a very prominent Shia website from Qom. There is somebody, a scholar, was responding to a question, and he ended up saying that, you know, anyone who doesn't believe in the imamate of Ahlul Bayt is a kafir. And interestingly, that website, right under the title, it says, under the patronage of Ayatollah Grand Ayatollah Sistani. So this became an issue. People started, you know, writing to Ayatollah Sistani, is this your opinion? And his office was very clear about it. There is a lengthy response to that. Let me just read to you some parts of it where they respond by saying, نَظَرًا إِلَىٰ أَنَّ أُمُومَ إِخْوَانِنَا مِنْ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ We'll leave the Arabic aside anyway. By considering the fact that the majority of our brethren from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah who deny the imamate of the 12 imams alayhi salam believe that imamate is not part of deen. It is not something which has been brought by the Prophet. This is their aqidah. And therefore their denial does not harm their Islam. Remember there's a difference between Islam and Iman. It doesn't harm their Islam according to the views of the Honorable Sayyid Sistani here. The answer is coming from the office of Ayatollah Sistani in Najaf. At the end he says, وَبِالْجُمْلَ أَنَّ كُلَّ مُطَّلِعَ عَلَى فَتَاوِ سَمَاهَةِ السَّيِّدِ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا يَرَى أَنَ عَامَّةَ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ أَنَّهُ يَرَى أَنَّ عَامَّةَ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ هُمْ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He says, if in short, anyone who is familiar with the fatawa of the Honorable Sayyid Sistani knows that he considers the majority of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah as Muslims whose lives and properties are sacrosanct, muhtaram, and all other laws regarding the Muslims apply upon them. So this was just to clarify that what an individual alim had written does not reflect the opinion of Sayyid Sistani, and actually not the opinion of any of the Shia Maraji. They are all unanimous on this issue. But let me share with you, so that was Ayatollah Sistani from Najaf. One of the top marja in Qom at the moment is the Grand Ayatollah Sheikh Wahid Khurasani. I am honored to be his student. He also actually received a question in a different context, and it is there in his website, even today I checked, double-checked it today, where the person was talking that he lives in an area where there are majority Sunni. He says, we live in the area where Ahl Sunnah reside, and they consider us as kafir. The Sunnis consider us to be kafir, and they say Shia is kafir. In such a situation, can we retaliate in kind and consider them as kafir the way they consider us as kafir? This is very much relevant. And this is Ayatollah Wahid Khurasani, who is very well known to be a very vilayi marja. And so they say, we request you to clarify our religious duty in such a situation. Ayatollah Wahid Khurasani responds by saying, anyone who gives testimony to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prophethood of the last prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he is a Muslim. His life, his honor, his property are sacrosanct as the life, honor, and property of a follower of the Ja'fari Shia Madhab. Then he says, وَوَزِيفَيِ شَرْئِيَ شُمَا آنَسْ كِبَا گُوِيَنْدَيِ شَهَادَتَيْنَ هَرْچَنْ شُمَارَ كَافِرْ بِدَانَدْ بِحُسْنِ مُعَاشَرَتْ رَفْتَارْ كُنِدْ. Your religious duty towards anyone who says the shahadatain, even if he calls you a kafir, is to behave with them in good manners. And if they behave with you unjustly, وَأَگَرَ أَنَهَا بَا نَا حَقْ بَا شُمَا رَفْتَارْ
کردن شما از صراط مستقیم حق و عدل منحرف نشوید.
And if they behave with you unjustly, you should not deviate from the rightful straight path and justice. Don't stoop down to their level. Maintain your moral standard of being a Shia and follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam. Salawat alaykum wa rahmatullah. Ayatollah Waheed Khurasan, he goes further. He says, if someone from them becomes ill, go and visit him. If someone dies, participate in the funeral. If someone seeks help from you, help him. Submit to Allah's command. This is where I go back to the ayat that I recited. He recites, he writes that ayat there, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنْعَانَ قَوْمٍ أَنْ لَا تَعْدِلُوا. The hatred for a people should not ever lead you to be unfair. They are calling you kafir, yes. You are angry. You might even have hatred towards them because of what they do to you. But do not abandon the fairness and justice. And do not say to anyone who greets you with salam that you are a kafir. And he relates that to the ayat from Surah Nisa, ayat 94. So this is the end of his response to this question. And this is where we have to realize that when we look at the situation in the Middle East at the moment, and we look at this issue of Gaza Strip, we are not talking about the political entities. We have nothing to do with PLO or Hamas. But you cannot ignore the suffering and the plight of the civilians in Gaza Strip. The men and women, the children who are suffering. They are suffering from all aspects. They are a victim of what is known as collective punishment for what some people have done. And this is a collective punishment, imposed on them, inflicted upon them by the state of Israel. Everyone is saying this is against international laws. But this is not first time that the international law has been violated by the state of Israel. And this is where we have to realize that there is absolutely no problem in having this sympathy for the civilian Palestinians, to feel the pain for their suffering. There is absolutely no problem. It is according to Qist and Adl to pray for them, that may Allah relieve them from their suffering, and to support them in whatever way that we can according to the laws of the land. Even if they are Shia, they are not Shia, and they are Sunni Shafi. Because we have to maintain the level of akhlaq and ethics and morality which the Ahlul Bayt have taught to us. Salawat. Let me go back to the words of the Grand Ayatollah Waheed Khurasani. You know, when he says, do not deviate from the path of justice and sirat al-mustaqim, even if they are being unfair to you. Then he says, if someone from them becomes ill, go and visit him. If someone dies, participate in the funeral. When I look at those words, and this is a very good segue for me, I realize those words are actually coming from the advice that Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam gave to the Shias. And I would like to share that, in that context. For myself and you, I have divided the advice into three different segments, into different categories, actually, where he says, عُسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالْوَرَى فِي دِينِكُمْ وَالْإِجْتِهَادِ لِلَّهِ وَطُولِ السُّجُودِ. The items in this advice of the imam or the way it has come, except one item I just, you know, change the order of it. In the first part, you know, the imam is talking about personal level, some advice that is given to us as individuals, what you should do. So the first thing he says, I advise you to be taqwallah, to be conscious of Allah at all the times. Our biggest problem is whenever we commit sins, at that moment, Allah was not in our consciousness. If Allah's consciousness was there, we would not be committing that sin. So that is the first point, and this is a personal issue that Imam is saying. As a Shia, as my Shia, I would like you to, you know, maintain this consciousness of Allah at all times. Number two, he says, wal wara' fi dinikum, to be extra cautious in the matters of your faith. You know, we cannot take Islam and the teachings of Islam, you know, lightly and say, okay, this suits me, so I will act on it. This doesn't suit me, so okay, I'm living in year 2023 in Canada. It doesn't apply to me. No, Islam is Islam, and Islam is there for the end. And so the issue here is not only being a practicing Muslim, wal wara' fi dinikum, you have to be extra cautious in the matters of your religion. Third thing he says, wal ijtihad lillah, struggle for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then watud is sujood, and prolong your sujood. Whenever you are doing your individual prayers, especially nafila prayers, if you can prolong this sajda, that is the best thing for you on a personal level, for your, you know, spiritual development. Then he comes to three items which are more on a social level. وصدق الحديث وعداء الأمانة وعسل الجوار. He says, number one, when it comes to your social interaction with the people, the very first quality that he is emphasizing is صدق الحديث. Be truthful in your speech. وعداء الأمانة, number two, you know, fulfill the trust of those who have entrusted you with their items. And the emphasis he puts here is that أداء الأمانة إلى من اعتمنك من بر أو فاجر. Doesn't matter whether the owner of that property given to you in trust is a righteous person or a sinner. You know, sometimes we judge people in that way. Yeah, he has given to me, but you know, he's not a practicing Muslim. You know, or he's a sinner or drunkard or whatever. Amanat is an amanat. Doesn't matter what is the status of the owner. Whether he is a good person or a bad person, doesn't matter. He left an amanat with you, a trust with you. You have to fulfill that. And the third point on a social level, he says, husnul jawar, be a good neighbor to your neighbors. Irrespective of, you know, they are Muslims, non-Muslims, family, relatives, or non-Muslims, doesn't matter at all. And then Imam ends there by saying, وَبِهَذَا جَاءَ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He says, these are the values brought by Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam. And then when it comes to the issue of, you know, how do you interact with other Muslims? This is where Ayatollah Wahid Khorasani seems to have taken a couple of sentences from this advice of the Imam, where he says, when it comes to your dealing with other Muslims, number one, he says, Sallu fi asha'irihim. If you live in their neighborhood, you know, whenever possible, pray with their community. Of course, you pray in your own way, but there is nothing wrong in praying with them. Number two, washhadu janaizahum. Participate in their funerals. Number three, wa'udu maradahum. Go and visit their sick people. And number four, وَعَدُّوا حُقُوقَهُمْ and fulfill their rights. And then Imam says something which is a message for us for tonight. He says, فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلْ مِنْكُمْ إِذَا وَرَعَ فِي دِينِهِ وَصَدَقَ فِي حَدِيثِهِ وَعَدَّ الْأَمَانَةِ وَحَسَّنَ خُلْقَهُ مَعَ النَّاسِ. He says, indeed, when a person from among you is cautious in his matter of religions, truthful in his speech, fulfills the trust, exemplifies good behavior with the people, قِيلَ هَذَا شِيعِيٌّ. And then people point him out and they say, he's a Shia because of his good character. Imam says, فَيَسُرُّنِي ذَلِكَ. This pleases me quite a lot. Tonight is the Wiladat of the 11th Imam. Normally on a birthday anniversary, you give a gift. Our gift for the Wiladat of the Imam should be improvement of our akhlaq. So that when people realize that, yes, we are the followers of Ahlul Bayt, Imam feels that happiness. And this will more relate to the Imam of our time, Ajallahu Ta'ala Faraj al-Sharif. The advice continues, where he says, اتقوا الله وكونوا زينا ولا تكونوا شينا. Fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be a mark of gracefulness. Do not be a mark of disgrace. Become a zenith in the community. Don't be a shame or a shame in English, you know, in the community. جروا إلينا كل مودة وادفعوا عنا كل قبيح. He says, by your behavior, attract all love towards us. When people see your akhlaq, they actually will be pulled towards the Ahlul Bayt. They will say, well, that is the source of your good akhlaq. And then he says, وَدْفَوْ عَنَّ كُلَّ قَبِيهٍ and dispel every evil from us. فَإِنَّهُ مَا قِيلَ فِينَا مِنْ حُسْنٍ فَنَحْنُ أَهْلُهُ. Because whatever is said good about us, we are indeed deserving of it. And whatever is said evil about it, we are not at all like that. And then Imam says, وَلَنَا حَقٌ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَقَرَابَةٌ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَتَطْحِيرٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ لَا يَدَّعِي أَحَدٌ غَيْرُنَا إِلَّا كَذَّابٌ. He says, you know, we have a right. Allah has given us a haq in his book. We have this relationship of closeness to Rasulullah. And Allah has purified us. And nobody claims these things but us. Anyone who claims other than us, he is kazzab and a liar. أكثر ذكر الله وذكر الموت وطلاوة القرآن. He ends by saying that, you know, increase the remembrance of Allah and the remembrance of death. Everybody is going to die one day. وَتَلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنُ. Increase the recitation of the Qur'an. And increase وَالصَّلَاةَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. The salawat on Muhammad. فَإِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَشْرَ حَسَنَاتٍ. Because reciting salawat on the Prophet is equal to 10 good deeds. احفظوا ما وصي He ends by saying احفظوا ما وصيتكم به. Remember the advice that I given to you. واستودعكم الله and I leave you in Allah's care. واقرا عليكم السلام and I convey my salams to you. This is the advice of the Imam. The way it has come, it is not only for the companions of himself, it also relates to each one of us. Salawat from the Quran. Gyarv Imam ki viladat ke sazile mein, bas ek jumle par hum khatam karna chahenge, امام نے اس نصیحت میں جو شیعوں کے لیے لکھا ہے اس میں ایک جملہ ہے کہ آپ جہاں اللہ کی یاد کو ہمیشہ اس یاد میں رہے خدا کے موت کو یاد کریں، قرآن کی تلاوت کریں اور صلوات بھی پڑھتے رہیں۔ یہ صلوات بہت ہی اہم ہیں ہمارے لیے۔ قیامت کے دن مومنین کے لیے کیا ہوگا؟ ایک سیناریو جو ہے حدیثوں میں بیان کیا جاتا ہے کہ ایک مومن ہوگا، میزان پہ جب اعمال رکھے جائیں گے، نیکیاں ایک طرف برائیاں دوسری طرف، وہ دیکھے گا کہ بھائی وہ برائی کا جو اسکیل ہے وہ ذرا زیادہ وزنی ہے، پریشان ہو جائے گا۔ تھوڑی دیر میں ایک ملک آئے گا اور ایک بہت ہی بڑا بیگ یا گونی جو ہے وزنی جو ہے نیکیوں کے ساتھ رکھ دے گا، آل آف اے سڈن اس کا اسکیل جو ہے بدل جائے گا، نیکیاں جو ہے زیادہ بھاری ہو جائیں گی۔ اب وہ خود ہی مومن جو ہے وہ کہے گا کہ یہ کیا ہے، ہمیں لگتا تو نہیں ہے کہ ہم نے اتنے اچھے اعمال کیے ہیں۔ تب وہ ملک کہے گا کہ تمہیں نہیں معلوم ہے، ہم لوگوں نے یہ ایکسٹرا رکھا تھا تمہارے سپورٹ کے لیے، یہ وہ صلوات ہیں جو تو نے رسول اسلام اور آل محمد پہ پڑھی ہے۔ دشمنان اہل بیت نے بہت کچھ کیا اہل بیت کے سٹیٹس اور مرتبے کو گرانے کے لیے، لیکن خدا بندے عالم اپنا کام کرتا ہے۔ نماز سب پڑھتے ہیں، صوفی اور شیعہ ایک طرف سے لے کے وہابی دوسری طرف تک۔ تشہد کی جب بات آتی ہے نماز میں، اس میں کیا کرتے ہیں؟ وہ اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، اور اس کے بعد اشہد ان محمد عبدہ و رسولہ۔ لیکن اس کے بعد میجورٹی کے یہاں یا تم ریکمینڈڈ ہے یا واجب ہے، ہمارے یہاں واجب ہے کہ یہ سنی حضرات بھی ذرا لمبی صلوات پڑھتے ہیں، اور صرف رسول تک نہیں، آل رسول کو بھی اس میں شامل کرتے ہیں، آل محمد کو۔ سعودی کا ایک مفتی تھا جس سے کسی نے سوال لکھا تھا 90s میں، اس کا وہ پرنٹڈ ورژن ہمارے پاس ہے۔ کسی نے سوال کیا تھا کہ رسول کے بارے میں ہم لوگ جب نام آتا ہے ان پر ہم صلوات کرتے ہیں مختلف سٹائل سے، صحیح طریقہ کیا ہے؟ تو مفتی لکھتا ہے جیسے بھی صلوات پڑھنا ہو پڑھو، اللہم صلی علی محمد وسلم، یہی ہوتا ہے نا۔ کبھی کبھی تو وہ شارٹ فارم میں ہم لوگ انگریزی میں لکھ دیتے ہیں SAWA، وہ کبھی کبھی وہ ہم نے پاکستانی ٹی ویز میں دیکھا ہے، وہ پتہ نہیں سلم کچھ، یعنی اردو والا بھی اسی طرح سے ایبریویشن کے ساتھ وہ بول دیتے ہیں، پوری پڑھتے بھی نہیں ہے رسول پر بھی۔ لیکن وہ مفتی لکھتا ہے کہ لیکن تم جیسے ہی چاہو صلوات پڑھنا رسول کے نام کے بعد، تمہیں اختیار ہے، لیکن نماز میں جو تشہد آتا ہے تو صلوات پڑھو کما علم النبی اصحابہ، جس طرح سے نبی نے اپنے اصحاب کو سکھایا ہے، اینڈ دین ہی گیوز دی رائٹنگ، اس میں پڑھو اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل محمد۔ تو اہل بیت کو بھول جاتے ہیں، چھوڑ دیتے ہیں، لیکن جب اللہ کے سامنے آتے ہیں اور اپنے عقیدے کی شہادت کی بات کرتے ہیں تو وہاں وہ مجبور ہیں کہ محمد کے ساتھ آل محمد کو بھی یاد کریں۔ یہ وہ مرتبہ دیا ہے کہ بس ایک واقعے کو بیان کر کے ہم ختم کریں گے۔ امام اثر عسکری علیہ السلام کے ایک بھائی تھے، امام معصوم ہوتا ہے ضروری نہیں ہے کہ بھائی معصوم ہو، وہ پرابلم تھے ان کے ساتھ، اور وہ جو ہے وہ ایک بار امام کے وفات کے فوراً بعد وہ جو خلیفہ تھا اس کے پاس آئے، ریمبر ہی از سن آف امام، برادر آف این امام، وہ خلیفہ سے کہتا ہے کہ آپ ہمیں شیعوں کا امام اپوائنٹ کر دیں تو ہم آپ کو اینیولی اتنا جو ہے ٹیکس
گارنٹی کرتے ہیں دینے کے لیے. وہ خلیفہ بھی اتنے غصے میں آ گیا, اس نے کہا تم چاہتے ہو کہ ہم تمہیں جو ہے اپنے بھائی کی جگہ پہ رکھ دیں, تمہیں یہ نہیں معلوم ہے کہ تمہارے بھائی جو ہے اس جگہ پہ تھے ہماری وجہ سے نہیں, ہم نے ان کو اپوائنٹ نہیں کیا تھا شیعوں کے امام کی حیثیت, شیعہ قوم نے ان کو ایکسیپٹ کیا تھا. شیعہ قوم اگر تجھے نہیں مانتی ہے تو ہمارے اپوائنٹمنٹ سے تمہارا کوئی بھلا ہونے والا نہیں ہے. اور پھر وہ کہتا ہے, اعتراف کرتا ہے کہ خدا نے تمہارے بھائی کی عظمت اور احترام کو بلند رکھا ہے, ہم نے پوری کوشش کی ان کو گرانے کے لیے, ہم گرا نہیں سکے, لہٰذا تم بیکار کی باتیں مت کرو, اگر تم واقعاً اس قابل ہو تو جا کے اپنی قوم سے بات کرو کہ وہ تمہیں امام ماننے کے لیے تیار ہے یا نہیں ہے. تو جہاں تک اہل بیت کی بات ہے, خداوند عالم نے ان کو مرتبہ دیا ہے, ان کے مرتبے کے محفوظ کیا ہے. ہم اور آپ کچھ نہیں ہیں, کبھی کبھی ہمارے جیسے لوگ سمجھتے ہیں کہ ہم نے بہت بڑی خدمت کی ہے, اہل بیت کا نام بلند کیا ہے, یہ بلند رکھنے والا خدا ہے, ہم نہیں ہیں. اور یہی ہمارے مذہب کی سچائی کی ایک دلیل ہے کہ خداوند عالم نے مشکل حالات میں ہم لوگوں کو وہ ذریعہ دیا ہے کہ ہم صحیح راستے پر قائم رہیں, اور خصوصاً ان حالات میں غزہ کے سچویشن میں, چاہے وہ ہمیں جو کچھ کہتے ہیں, اگر وہ وہابی بھی ہیں, وہابی تو نہیں ہیں, خیر وہ سنی شافعی ہیں, وہ لوگ حنبلی بھی نہیں ہیں وہ, لیکن اگر وہ ہمیں برا بھی کہتے ہیں, مان لیجئے شیعہ کو کافر بھی کہتے ہیں, ہمارا اخلاق کچھ اور ہے, ہماری ذمہ داری کچھ اور ہے, ہم مظلوم کے ساتھ ہمدردی کرنا ہمارا طریقہ ہے, ہمارے آئمہ کا طریقہ ہے. خداوند عالم ہمارے اس قلیل بات قبول فرمائے, ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرمائے, ہمارے توفیقات میں اضافہ فرمائے. خداوند مسلمانوں کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ, خصوصاً فلسطین میں جو سویلین ہیں, مرد عورت اور بچے جو اس ظلم کا شکار بن رہے ہیں, خداوندہ انہیں اس ظلم سے نجات دے, امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.